Welcome to New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, where we envision to build a biblical community of loving believers, which have a personal relationship with God and each other, modeling the pattern of lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Join us now as we prepare our hearts and minds to hear and receive the Word of God from the man of God, Senior Pastor Reverend Nathaniel Wood.
In the verses that precede our selected scriptural text for today, we find that Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John, Jesus's inner circle, with him and ascended into a high mountain alone. While in the mountain, Peter, James, and John witnessed the supernatural transfiguration of Jesus. They witnessed the manifested glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Not only did they see Jesus in his glorified state, but with their own eyes, they also saw Moses and the prophet Elijah appear, who began to talk with Jesus. Peter, being overwhelmed with fear at what they were witnessing, said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter, as a result of fear, made a great mistake. What mistake, Pastor Wood? It is never a good thing to speak when your words are motivated by fear. Peter made the great mistake of considering Moses and Elijah equals to Jesus. This mistake needed to be corrected. But who could, or who would make this needed correction? Remember, saints, that they were in a high mountain alone. But the Bible says a cloud appeared and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." I tell you what, New Providence, God the Father made the needed correction. And I suggest to you, when God speaks, you and I better listen. And the Bible says, suddenly when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were descending from the mountain, Jesus gave Peter, James, and John strict orders not to tell what they had seen until he, the Son of Man, had risen from the dead. Now, when Jesus, Peter, James, and John came to the place where they left the other nine disciples, they saw that a large crowd had gathered around the nine. And they saw the teachers of the law arguing with the nine. Now remember that Jesus was absent from the presence of the nine. And with Jesus absent, the nine were left vulnerable for an attack. And listen to me good. The enemies of the kingdom of God will attack you when you're out of fellowship with Jesus. When you haven't spoke to Jesus in a while, when you have been willfully absented from his presence, when you miss several Sundays of morning worship, the enemy will attack your faith. And guess what, New Providence and friends? The enemy knows when you haven't spent quality time with Jesus. He knows, the enemy knows, when you are out of fellowship with Jesus. I don't care how much you come in here and raise your hands and how much you shout. The enemy knows what your fellowship level is with Christ. And he will attack you. Tell your neighbor, the enemy will attack you. But I'm so glad today to know that even when the enemy has attacked us, that Jesus has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. But even with this promise, it does not stop the enemy from attacking our faith sometimes. Am I right about it? The Bible says that when the crowd saw Jesus coming, that they ran to him to greet him. They were happy to see Jesus. But let me suggest to you that not only was the crowd happy, but those other nine disciples who were being challenged were happy to see Jesus too. They probably said amongst themselves, "Thank God that Jesus is here now." And I wonder, New Providence and friends, have you ever had a time in your life when you really needed Jesus to show up and help you out of a situation or circumstance, and right in the nick of time, he showed up? So when they got to Jesus, Jesus asked his disciples, "What are you arguing with the teachers of the law about?" And before the nine could respond to Jesus' question, a man from amongst the crowd decided to answer. The man said this to Jesus, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him on the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. My brothers and sisters, we find here in this father's description of his son a picture of broken and lost humanity. This boy pictures those who are still unsaved. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, Pastor Wood, I know that I'm not saved yet. I know that I have not received Christ into my life as my Lord and Savior yet, but I have never acted in the manner that this boy acted. I'm not demon-possessed like this boy was. Matter of fact, Pastor Wood, I don't think that I am a lost person at all. I ain't that bad. Listen to me real good. Every lost person is under the bondage of sin. Nobody is more lost than anyone else. But some lost are worse than others. Though you may not be possessed like this boy was, guess what? You are still lost. Let me explain what I'm trying to say to you by using an analogy of an airplane. All who are lost are in the same airplane together. But some may be riding in first class that offers bigger seats. But ultimately, every lost person on the airplane will arrive at the same destination, which is eternal separation from God. And I don't know about you, but I thank God that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and that the Bible tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that some good news? The Father of the possessed boy continues his explanation of the events that took place prior to Jesus' arrival by saying to Jesus, "Jesus, I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but guess what, Jesus? They couldn't do it." I asked your disciples to drive out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. We need to think about that just for a moment. What a sad testimony given to Jesus about his disciples. And what makes it even worse is that Jesus had already given them the authority to drive out unclean spirits. Now, the disciples' failure was made public. Their lack of spiritual power now was publicly known. And I wonder, New Providence and friends, If we were to ask the people that you live with or work with, is there any evidence in your life that you have spiritual power with God? I wonder what they would say. It's mighty quiet in here. You know what I found out after 36 years of pastoring? That many of us talk a good Christian game. But I wonder if we would be really spiritually tested, would we pass or fail? Some of us, that's the reason why we hang around unsaved folk. Because we know that they ain't gonna try us. We stay close enough to the devil where he won't bother us, and we try to stay close enough to God where he can try to protect us. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Jesus looks at his disciples and the crowd, and he speaks the words of our selected scriptural text for today. Jesus said, "You unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long should I put up with you?" In other words, Jesus was troubled by the lack of faith demonstrated by his own disciples. After all the miracles that they had seen Jesus performed, they still had faltering faith. After seeing Jesus feed 5,000 men, not including women and children, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and then turn around and feed 4,000 men with 7 loaves of bread and a few fish, they still doubted the power of God. And before we look down on the disciples, we too must confess that we are guilty of having episodes of faltering faith. We too have our moments when we operate with a diminished faith. There are times when we wrestle with trusting God totally. I know I'm right. But though Jesus was disappointed with his disciples' lack of faith, Jesus did not just walk away from the situation and leave the boy in his condition. Listen to me good. No matter how much we have disappointed Jesus in the past, I'm so glad that he won't just walk away from us and our problems. Somebody ought to say, thank God. I'm so glad that Jesus still loves and cares for us. Even when we fail him miserably in our faith towards him. I'm so glad that our faith failures don't stop, don't hinder, or cause Jesus from not demonstrating his supernatural power to us. Though his disciples failed him miserably, Jesus looks at his disciples and the crowd, and this is what he says. Bring the boy to me. Y'all missed it. Jesus said, this boy with this problem, even though my disciples couldn't handle it, all I want you to do is bring the boy and his problem to me. That's some good news. These words of Jesus ought to provide for us comfort, relief, and hope. And as I end this sermon, I'm glad that Jesus has the power to turn your problem and my problems around. Jesus told them to bring the boy to him, for he knew that he had the power to deliver the boy from his problem. And I'm so glad that Jesus is still calling us to bring our problems to him. I'm glad, I don't know about you, that Jesus wants us to watch him demonstrate his power to us, that he has all power in his hand. I'm glad that Jesus, our God, is still in control. I know in this world we're living in that seems so out of control, don't be fooled by what you see, because God still sits high and he looks low. If his eye is on the sparrow, I know that he watches over all of us. I thank God for his power, and that his power is available to us to solve all of our problems. It is his power that still makes corrupt men good. It is his power that still makes the drunken man sober. It is his power that still makes the deceitful man honest. It is his power to make the selfish man become considerate. It is still his power that makes God ungodly men become righteous. It is his power that can still cause greedy men to become generous. It is his power that can still cause weak men to become strong. Who else but the Lord can make carnal men holy? Who else but the Lord can make lying men truthful? Who else but the Lord can make troubled men peaceful? Who else but the Lord can make foolish men wise? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Is there any witnesses here that know God has all power in his hands, and that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, too hard for our God? He can solve any problem. He can turn around any situation. Say yes. Say yeah. I'm glad that the Jesus that I serve is still turning problems around. So I'm ending this sermon by saying, turn your problems over to Jesus. And guess what? He can handle it. I said he can handle your problem. He can work it out for you. There used to be a song that said Jesus can work it out. The problems that you have, that you just seem you can't solve. You prayed and you prayed, but you got deeper involved. But you turned it, say your neighbor, I turned it over to Jesus. I stopped worrying about it. I gave it over to the Lord. And guess what he did? He worked it out. He worked it out. He worked it out. Bring your problems, your troubles to Jesus. And Jesus will just say to you, look, I've been waiting for you to bring the problem to me. You've been wrestling all this time and losing all this sleep. Your health is getting bad and everything. And all I wanted you to do was to bring the problem to me. Take your hands off of it. Give it and put it in my hands. And I'll show you. I will demonstrate to you that I have all power in my hand. Come on, stand to your feet all over the church.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay's Arena, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.